joined on the line indeed by Ronan Lyons. He's Associate Professor of Economics at Trinity College in Dublin, and he joins me on the line because some new figures have come out for this quarter in relation to Galway City rents. And he's an economist at Trinity College, as we said, and author of the daft.ie report. Dr. Lyons, good morning to you. How are you today? Thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for having me on.
Not at all. You're a busy man. All the media are pulling at you today. But I was looking at the summary, indeed, of what you sent into us overnight. In Galway, city rents have risen by 11.8% in the last year. And the average rent now in Galway is €1,772.
That's right. Now, it's one of those things where it depends a little bit on how you look at the figures. As you say, just comparing now to a year ago, rents are 12% higher. These are open market rents. So this is somebody looking in the open market. A sitting tenant will have a different path, and largely they'll be protected by rent pressure zones. But when you drill down into, okay, that's now compared to a year ago, but when did those increases actually happen? It's quite interesting. The second, third, and fourth quarters last year, which feed into the year-on-year figure, each of those three quarters saw very big increases in Galway City. 5% in the second quarter, 3% in the third quarter, and 5% again in the final quarter of last year. But actually, in the first 3 months of this year, rents in Galway City came down by 1.3%. And that's the first time, I mean, there was a slight wobble in rents around the time of COVID, but really that's the first time that rents have fallen by something like 1% in 10 years in Galway City. So while the year-on-year figure is certainly very big, that's being driven by what happened in 2022 and not what's happened so far in 2023.
When you say come down, Ronan, then in this regard, have you scientific evidence that a house, say, in Renmore, the rent on that came down by, not 1.3, look, at there's a variant, I'm sure, there as well, you're the economist, but 1.3 isn't a staggering amount to come down, but the figure of 1,772 on a monthly basis is, that's quite staggering, though.
Yeah, no, it is, and not that long ago, Galway surpassed Cork as the second most expensive city. Cork had for a long while been more expensive, but rents in Galway have increased by more, especially in the sort of the post-COVID period. So in the last couple of months of 2022, the average rent was 1,800 a month. Now it's 1,770. I think I have a line in the commentary for the report. Basically, there's some crumbs of comfort, as in it's not that this is a solution to the problem. It's just that things have stopped getting worse, at least for the first quarter of the year. Fingers crossed, we might see some further improvements for tenants in subsequent quarters, but we can't guarantee that because the underlying reason is the lack of availability of rental homes, and that doesn't look like it's going away anytime soon.
It is supply and demand, it definitely is, but I mean, at that figure, you're really up nearly Dublin prices?
Yeah, you know, Dublin has been doing its own thing as well. So the average rent in Dublin is almost 2,400 a month. So Galway is where Dublin was not that long ago. And of course, the worry would be if the supply-demand imbalance persists, Galway and Cork and indeed other places could continue to get more expensive. With the pressure on rental accommodation. Just to give you a sense of you know, during 2016, 17, 18, the market in Galway was very tight. Rents were being pulled up because of a lack of supply. But even at that point, you were talking about the city having, you know, it varied from time to time, but probably about 100 homes on the rental market. But currently, there are only 25 homes available in Galway to rent. So you're talking about three quarters of the usual availability is just not there, which makes it very stressful for anyone looking to rent a home without having an in, like without knowing someone who can sublet them a room or a family member, that kind of thing. And that's ultimately what we need to care about most is the people who don't have any sort of other connections that they can rely on to find them accommodation.
Yeah, I mean, the situation is, when you look at the 12% increase, salaries have not gone up by 12% at the same period of time or anything like it. People are trying to find this money. What type of property would you get for that type of money, could I ask you, Ronan?
So we have, there is a breakdown of, so that's an all-in average. That would weigh the different segments, say one bed apartment up to five beds. There wouldn't obviously be too many five beds in the city area, it weights them all and comes up with an average. But there is, in the report, there's a table that gives you the specifics for the different segments. And so for Galway City, the average for a one bed apartment at the moment is 1,200 a month. And for a two bed, it's 1,400. And you go all the way up, say a four bed is about 2,100 a month in terms of the average rent in the city area. And as you say, how do you afford that? Well, one of the ways that the rental sector can adjust that the sales market doesn't is that you end up with more paying tenants per property. So it might have been the case that 10 years ago, a couple would have rented out a three bed and they did just themselves and they have a spare room and they can have visitors over and so on. That property almost certainly has more than two paying tenants now. It would probably have all three rooms occupied with paying tenants and may even have more than one per room. You could have four or five paying tenants. And that's probably the only way that the rental market has been able to sustain these 160% increases in rents over the course of the last 10 years.
It's not a question I know you can answer, but aren't we really going backwards when somebody can't have their own front door and have the two bedrooms that they need and one for the guest? We really have regressed rather than progressed in the last number of years.
Yeah, and I think part of it is the 2010s happened after the 2000s, if that makes sense, that we had a period during which there were too many homes built in certain parts of the country, not necessarily in Galway City or indeed Dublin or other places, but certain parts of the country definitely built too many homes driven by tax policy and loose credit. In the 2010s, I mean, we could probably go back and dig up a conversation that we had 10 years ago, but as early as 2013 and 14, it was obvious that there was a shortage of rental homes. But at that point, the policy system was still trying to handle, oh, well, we've got ghost estates in certain parts of the country. How could we have shortages as well in other parts? And it was only really in 2015-16 that the government started paying attention to the rental market as being dysfunctional, as in having too few homes, not too many. Yeah, yeah. But that stage, you're already 5 years in the case of Dublin and Galway, into a shortage. And the first response wasn't even to encourage the construction of new homes. It was to bring in rent pressure zones. It was only in 2018 that the government finally got around to encouraging the construction of new rental homes. And even then, last year, they sort of went back on that. They said they didn't like the build-to-rent system anymore. And it's fine if you don't like the system that you've brought in, tweak it or bring in a better one. But by not having an explicit system now for encouraging the construction of rental homes, it's not obvious how we're going to get out of this in the next couple of years, to be completely blunt.
So you just sent in a comment to us today that they're living in the county but want to move to the city, and they put all of the information together for the agent for a future viewing, and they had to give bank statements, a lot of personal stuff for both herself and her husband, and references and all of that. And then we were invited to the showing, and there was 12 other people at the showing, and only one was going to get the property. 12, imagine.
Yeah.
And then to put all that documentation... Why would somebody look for bank account details? Is it? I don't know. I haven't come across that now. But
if you put yourself in the shoes of the person renting out the property, they're probably worried that if it's quite hard to remove a tenant if something were to go wrong. So they're looking for the best possible bet in terms of you bring someone in and they're just going to pay the rent and there's going to be no issues. So that's the kind of. Only in a market with this kind of imbalance could a landlord be that picky. Yeah. If there were better balance between supply and demand, they wouldn't be as fussed about having someone. And of course, when you think about all of those steps, how does someone who doesn't have a good track record in employment but is getting back on their feet, or someone who's just moved to Ireland, how do they compete in a system where you're supposed to have all of this documentation? It makes it very difficult for people without, and I'm not saying it was easy for your listener there, it clearly wasn't, right? Only one of those 12 was going to get it. Mm. But even if you can't bring that documentation, you're not even in the 12. So we are definitely in a position where we've got far too little supply for the housing needs that we have as a country.
It really is. It's fascinating. If they want to get further details on this, they can go to daft.ie and get further details from there. Can I ask, just as an economist, I know I'm holding you, but I'm worried moving forward for people, just for people in life. But it can it go at this 12%?
It can't. There has to be some sort of breaking point. And for me, it goes back to one of your earlier questions, that the really important bit for me now is the first step before anything else is the government realizing and updating its figures. It has targets of 30,000 to 33,000 homes needed per year. But that's more based on what's feasible in the construction sector. But we actually need, as a society, you were saying, you know, people to have their own place to live. That's closer to maybe 50,000 to 60,000 homes a year. And recognizing that doesn't change that we may only be able to build 33,000 homes next year. That's fine. But knowing that it's actually 50,000 to 60,000, you can put in the groundwork now to get up there. And so far, the government hasn't really been interested in updating its figures because it's worried people will give out, it's not reaching them. But I think if you explain to people, it will take time. I think the voters are smart enough to recognize that and probably would reward it, given they know that housing is not a quick win and it will take time. But we need to start in the right place.
And finally, Ron, I promise I'll let you back to your day job. You have a day job to go to. But just in relation to the cost of properties, so just in preparation for this morning, I went into daft.ie and I looked up Galway City. I mean, the smallest, pokiest terraced house and looking for 430,000 for it. I mean, you'd have to put another 200,000 into it. I mean, will the cost of housing ever start to come down again? Because to be honest, when you look at, it's not daft.ie's fault at all, when you look at the cost of some of the houses, though, in Galway City, they're very expensive.
Yeah, and that's ultimately, it's the same issues across both owner-occupied, rental, and indeed social housing, is that the cost of which building new homes, that cost is too high relative to ordinary incomes. That inability to add to supply, that means that the existing stock becomes very expensive because there's really strong demand there. And until the government gets into the nitty-gritty about making it less expensive, fewer resources needed to build a home, until we sort that out, I think you and I are going to be having similar conversations, unfortunately.
While young people coming up, indeed, looking to the future, they'll need loan approval for 800,000 by the looks of things, and they'll be paying it off over 30 or 40 years. But Ronan, we won't solve that problem today. Thank you so much for joining us today on the programme. That is Ronan Lyons, indeed, who's Associate Professor of Economics at Trinity College Dublin and author of the daft.ie report. I love to see it coming in, by the way, because it kind of just focuses the mind. We're back and we have a lovely story coming the way indeed. Stay tuned for that and more to come. 20 minutes past 10 on this Monday morning. A very good morning to you.
Galway Talks, in association with Tesco. Click and collect allows you to collect your order whenever suits you.
A very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme on this beautiful Monday morning. Emma Ward joins me, and as you know, Emma is living in Athenry, but she had a little bit of an incident a few weeks ago, so she recorded a piece on video. She's posted it on social media, and she joins me on the line this morning. Emma, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us today on the programme. As most people at this stage know, you go around Athenry and the rest of the world, indeed, in your wheelchair. But you took a video recently. You posted on social media. Why?
So, yeah, I go around Athenry with my PA once a week. And there's this pole that's on the Northgate Street near the Skillet pub that is in... It's placed in a very awkward way because my wheelchair is a regular size one and I can't get through it. I get kind of stuck, and I put the video out there and I showed how I get stuck and I have to go out onto the road, and that is not safe at all. It's dangerous. I did not know who to contact to complain about the pole, so I thought my best bet was to put it on social media to get like attention of someone that could help me.
So here we are talking about it then this morning. But is Athenry accessible most of the time, or is it just this pole that's causing the main problem?
So the paths in Athenry are a big thing. Like, it's really not accessible for me. All the paths are really bad, but another one that comes to mind for me is when I want to go to the park, I have to go down by the arch near to El Conefa, and that whole path is very narrow, and I have to stay on part of the busy road all the way just to get to the Athenry Castle and the park.
So would you be afraid that you'd fall off the path then and be toppled out of the chair?
Yeah. My PA is always with me, so I'm safe in that sense, but there's always situations where we have to kind of stop for a minute and the traffic kind of starts a bit of traffic where I have to get down. And if it's a bad weather day, it's very windy, I could almost fall. And that's a big concern for me. I can't go out on my own independently because of how bad the paths are.
And you were saying that it's not just you, but it's other people using disability equipment or mothers with prams and otherwise. It's not friendly to those that want to use it with, say, a pram or a wheelchair.
Yeah, so I was saying it to a few people that I know around Athenry, and a person said to me that they wouldn't have noticed how bad the footpaths were until they brought their child out for a walk a couple weeks ago and they were using a pram, and they just didn't realise how bad it is until they actually had to use the footpaths.
And have you had any near misses? I know you have your PA with you, but would you ever venture out on your own, and would you have had near misses, Emma?
Missing. No, a couple of, maybe about a year ago, I was near a part with my, I was with my niece, but I didn't have a PA at this time, and I kind of nearly like fell, but it's not really fun. It's like my niece, it was kind of awkward.
Yeah.
Where I was placed, and she got me down perfectly. But if I'm never on my own, if that makes sense. I'm not able to go into Athenry town by myself because I'm afraid that there will be an incident where I will fall.
But you deserve the freedom to go where you want at your age in life if you want.
Yeah, I do. And the only way that I can get that is if Athenry, and I grew up in Athenry, I love it. It's a brilliant place to live, in my opinion. It's just if the paths were fixed and there was more accessibility, like us in mind, if the paths were designed with people like me in mind, I'd be able to have a lot more freedom. I wouldn't need to depend on my PA as much as she's brilliant. I wouldn't need to depend on her as much.
And would you challenge the decision makers in Galway County Council with responsibility for Athenry to get into a wheelchair like you and go for a walk with you and see how dangerous it is?
Oh, I would. If I had the right contacts, I would. Just so they can see what me, like, as a wheelchair user has to go through. Yeah, I would definitely do that.
Well, let's put that challenge out there today, Emma. Would some of the decision makers or councillors and or otherwise get into a wheelchair with you, and you go with your PA and you show them how difficult it is, and then they might get a sense of the urgency of what needs to be done?
Well, yeah, I would have no problem. If anyone wanted to come along with me, I can show you all the bad spots in Athenry for accessibility.
All right. Well, maybe Athenry could be the project that would stimulate people to look at other villages as well, but get Athenry right first, and then from there, see what else can be done.
I think that would be a really good thing, because Athenry as a town is very good. It's a busy town. It's very community orientated, and I can't go out into the community as much because of how bad the roads are. Yeah, the infrastructure is the worst. So I think if it got sorted, I'd be able to, not even just for me, but for people like in the future, for other wheelchair users, they could have the freedom to go out and not have to think about everything, like pre-plan trips into your local town. I have to pre-plan everything just so I don't get in, unnecessary routes around Athenry. I have to plan exactly where I'm going to go, just so I won't be caught, in a sense.
So you set the challenge this morning, Emma Ward, so you have. So we need people to call us and let us know. Are they prepared to take the challenge with you to see how bad it is in Athenry and then make Athenry the most accessible, friendly town in the west of Ireland? Emma, thanks for joining us today. We'll be in contact.
Thank you very much, Keith.
Who's going to take that, I wonder, that challenge for us today? If you do want to take that challenge, 086 38 33 55 3. Now, there's a fundraiser on Shop Street this coming Friday for a school for the blind in Sabata in Ethiopia. And I'm joined on the line by one of the people behind this. His name is Pat Clark, and he joins me on the line this morning. Pat, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith.
Thanks for joining us today. Tell me a little bit, before we talk about fundraising, tell me about the School for the Blind. Is it Sabata in Ethiopia?
Yeah, well, we pronounce it Sabata. Sabata, Ethiopia.
Yeah.
My wife and myself, we went there first as volunteers with the VSO in 2010, and we lived there for 2 years.
Oh, yes.
So then we've continued to go back there like time and again, you know, since then. And the school has about 300 blind children from all over the entire region. And they're residential, like, so they live in there, like, and they go to school there and they get fed, like, et cetera.
Now you've both spoken to me indeed about this before, and well done to yourself and your wife for doing what you're doing. What are the conditions like in the school?
Well, the school was built like 60 or 70 years ago, and so I suppose, as I'm an engineer, like, I'd be looking more at the building and what the conditions are like there as regards the building. So there's been very little maintenance done in the building over those 60 years. You know, so you get a lot of water leaks, and you get bathrooms not working properly, and the electricity is not working properly, and windows get broken and they're not getting fixed, you know, stuff like that. And even the beds, like, that they're sleeping in, the mattresses would be there for a long time. So you can imagine they wouldn't be too inviting to sleep in, you know.
Not too healthy at all, I would think, from there.
Not too healthy. And then, the funny thing about it is that most of the children there, they'd be very happy, mainly because they're going around with other people that are like themselves, kind of. You know, if they come from a region way out in the countryside and, you know, there's nobody else in their area that's blind like themselves, and no facilities to teach them or anything like that. And a lot of times the parents would hide the likes of them, you know. They wouldn't want to pretend to their neighbours like that they have a disabled child, you know. So a lot of them are very happy to be in the school, and some of them have a little bit of vision, like they have low vision. So they go around in groups, like maybe three or four, with their arms around each other, and the person that has a bit of sight kind of guides the other three, you know. So it's kind of very unusual to watch when you go there first, you know.
And Ethiopia,
but, as I said, they're all generally very happy, like, so.
But Ethiopia itself Ethiopia is not in a good place financially, food wise and or otherwise. So whatever money you raise, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to head back out again with your wife?
We are indeed. And we were there in January this year, and we connected with a group from Northeast Galway, like they're called Building for Children. And we went there in January of this year, and what we did was we renovated two of the existing dormitories completely. So that means we took out all the old bathroom toilet facilities and the pipework and everything, put in new pipes, new floors and tiles and toilets and showers, and retiled the floor and everything like that. Then we took out all the beds, painted all the other rooms, and, you know, fixed up the windows, put in new mattresses in, and sheets and pillows and everything for the children, you know. So it was like starting from brand new again, you know. So they were all delighted with that. So there are six dormitories there altogether. So we've completed two now this year, so we're, the plan is to go again at the beginning of next year and complete two more with the help of the guys from building from children. Like they're all like tradesmen and you know, tilers and plumbers and carpenters.
It's important to say at this stage, though, to cut across you, Pat Clark, there, that he and his wife Mary, they pay for their own way out, and they pay their own, all their own expenses going out and coming home as well. Pat, what's it like when you, when you're leaving to come home?
Well, I generally, like, I suppose you'd have a nice feeling that you've done something worthwhile, you know. And of course, not to mention, like, you'd be delighted to get home to your own bed, you know, that kind of way. So,
what conditions would you live in when you're out there?
Well, we're very fortunate this last time now that we there's actually a new hotel in the town, and it was like €10 a night or something to stay there, you know.
Wow.
And we even got breakfast for that. So we decided this time to stay in the hotel, and we were really surprised at the that it was in such good condition. Oh. But it's just brand new, like, so I suppose it might be shown that there is a bit of development in the country after all, you know.
So listen, this coming Friday, Schools for the Blind in Sabeta, in Ethiopia, and again you're going to have performers on the street, so you are. And you sent some photographs, and we've printed them out, and they're just, what you've done is lovely. But what do you want people to do on Friday on Shop Street?
Well, I suppose, like everything else, it comes down to donations, I suppose, you know. But on Friday, we'll be there playing music, and we're involved with dancing ourselves, so there'll be a bit of traditional music and dance. And we have some children from Skellig Knowledge. We do a bit of dancing in the morning. And we'll have some musicians from Carol's Pub who'll play for an hour or two. And Jerry Darcy from Hoogtraard and a few friends. And various other musicians. Like, that'll be the music side of things. And we hope to have a few dancers in from Kieran Kelly. He's our ballroom teacher. So, and a few set dancers as well from Tony Ryan's set dancing group. So, and we might have just a few other things like during the day. So it'll be a bit of entertainment, like, as well as hopefully we'll be able to collect a few euros, you know.
All right. Well, every euro that you pick will be going directly with you to them and directly to the Coalface as well. Pat, regards to Mary, and thank you for taking a call today on that. Further details can be had by just popping into Shop Street. And thanks indeed for joining us today on that, Pat. And good
thanks
luck.
A million, Keith.
And I hope it goes well for you. And keep up the good work that you do on an ongoing basis from there. Keith M is absolutely right. I've been lobbying for accessibility improvements for years now. Funding has been applied far to improve the accessibility of the town, but the pace of change is too slow. I know only too well how bad it is, and that comes from Councillor Shelley Hertridge Quinn. And she sent in a second message just there now saying, tell Emma Ward she can contact me. So what we'll do is we will pass on Shelley's number to you, Emma, and you can take it up from there. Other comments coming into us today. Keith, in 2011, CSO figures was up to 250,000 residential properties vacant in Ireland. So the government used the HAP scheme and the long-term leasing to fill those houses to protect landlords who were in dire straits as they were finding it impossible to pay back mortgages, which were in negative equity. So little social housing was built since then. We now have a population which has grown by 1 million since, and it's no wonder we're having housing problems. All very complex, no easy answers, and that comes from Nuala to the programme today. We're back and we're looking at the Connemara Greenway. Stay tuned. Brace yourself.
Galway Tolls, in association with Tesco. Find our award-winning Irish ranges in store and online at tesco.ie.
Now, I told you at the top of the programme that the Galway to Uthraer Greenway Public Consultation 3 is taking place. Derek Pender, who's Director of Services with Galway County Council, in conjunction with Galway City Council, are inviting all landowners and members of the public and interested parties to participate in the non-statutory public consultation of the emerging preferred route corridor for the Galway to Uachtaráid Greenway. And now the consultations are taking place from the 12th of May to the 23rd of June as well. So your participation on this would be very important. And Derek joins you on the line. Derek, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us today. Again, a huge amount of work has gone into this already. What you have picked, is it the preferred route currently?
The preferred corridor, Keith.
Corridor,
so
yeah.
Within that corridor, there's potentially a number of routes. So you'll recall last June, we published our seven corridor options. Well, we've whittled that down now to one. And so that's what's going on public display from. It actually started on Friday last, and with the public display will continue up until the 23rd of June. And we're going to have three in-person sessions starting tomorrow in Killannon in the community centre in Roscal between 12 o'clock and 8 o'clock. The following day, we're going to Uachtaráid Community Centre, similarly 12 o'clock to 8 o'clock. And then on Thursday, we're in the Human Biology Building Atrium in the South Campus in the University of Galway, again from 12 o'clock to 8 o'clock. And we'd encourage everybody to come along if they can to meet the project team and to have a chat and see how they're affected, if they're affected.
So you took all the seven, you put a huge amount of work into it. I'm aware of some of the work that's been done on it. And you've come up with this corridor. And did you take into account all the concerns that people had expressed from when you leave Galway City to when you arrive into Uachtaráid Village?
Yeah, absolutely. So we received a huge amount of feedback from the seven corridors, and the majority of it was extremely positive. So we put that into our scoring matrix, basically. And we eventually have come up with this one preferred corridor, which has gone on display. So do you have access to the website there, Keith, in front of you, and you can see that the very informative map is on it?
I will have in a moment. What's the best website to go on to, Derek?
So if you go on to Galway to Uachtaráid Greenway.ie,
yeah.
So that'll bring you on to the project website, and you'll see a list of six or seven tabs across the top of that, and you'll see one of them there in the middle. It's called Public Consultation. If you click into that, the drop-down menu, and then just click on public consultation, the third public consultation, and that'll open up what's going on display from tomorrow. And if you scroll halfway down the page there, you'll see a tab called View Interactive Mapping. And if you click into that, it'll give you a satellite view of the preferred corridor. And you can scroll in, and people get to scroll right down into fine detail on that and see if they're affected at all by this.
Yeah, I have it here. John just loaded it for me from there. I mean, it's very interactive, and you can see everything that's there. So view interactive mapping then, is that what you said to me there, to have a look
exactly,
at
exactly, yeah.
Okay, so you view the interactive map, and then again,
you'll see the corridor shaded yellow on it on a satellite image, and you'll be able to zoom right down into the fine detail of that.
I had seen it in paper versions I had before this, but when you see it here, it just makes far more sense, doesn't it?
Mm. Now, you will notice that it does contain the old railway line for the majority of it, maybe 75% of it, but it does come away from the old railway line in certain locations.
Yeah, so you're leaving Galway City, NUI Galway, and
we're coming up through, and I want to say a huge thank you to the University of Galway. They've been very, very engaged in this whole process, and they're very positively disposed to the whole thing. So we're coming up potentially through the campus of NUI or University of Galway, as it is now.
Yeah,
continue on out towards Moycullen.
Are you going to go through Glenlow Abbey there, or have you started discussions there yet?
We have started discussions there. They're ongoing. So we'll be coming along the bottom there of Glenlow, potentially. That's where the corridor is shown. And then out to Moycullen, there'll be connectivity back in. The bypass that's under construction is providing huge connectivity from the Tully Coyne side back into the village, and the Greenway will connect into that.
But just coming back up to, so I mean, I'm looking at a grey line here. I'm not being Derek. So on the left hand side of the corridor, there's a grey line. Is that where the preferred route is, or is there an existing road there?
That's the N50. If you're looking at the same one I'm looking at, Keith, the grey line is the existing N59.
So you'd be looking at coming along by the Corrib then. If you come out of the Regional Sports Centre and then you would go all the way up by Glenlow Abbey and you're in discussions with them, you'd be coming up by the river all the way, so you would.
Yeah, exactly. That's the plan.
And then into the likes of Woodstock, again down by the river there. It'll be beautiful there.
It will be extremely picturesque if we can get this over the line.
Yeah, and then up through Clonniff and Thomashragh and into Leagon and then all the way into Mycullen from there. Yeah, Lonnie, yeah.
No, it's all positive, in fairness, and the engagements that we've had to date have been extremely positive as well. And as you're aware, we have planning consent got from the section between Uachtarard and Clifton, which is under construction as we speak.
Yeah.
I was fortunate enough to be on a section of it last Saturday. So, I mean, it will be a fantastic amenity. You'll be able to get on your bike in Galway City and go all the way to Clifton.
So you tell me that the Uachtarard to Clifton, that's been sorted and that's in construction.
Yeah, there's planning consent in place for that. And there's approximately 18 or 19 kilometres of it constructed from Clifton back towards Recess. So there is, and it's been very well used as well.
Wow.
I would recommend anybody to go to Ballinahinch Castle. There's a lovely section through the castle grounds there as well.
I've done that. How do you try and bring people on board? I mean, you're talking to me and you're a very approachable person and all of that, but how do you bring people on board where they're not frightened that it's coming up at the back of their house or at the side of their house, or that land is being split or roads have been... You know what I'm talking about on the east of the county?
Yeah, no, it's just communication, Keith, and that's it. We would encourage everybody to come along tomorrow, or you can leave your submissions online. There's a facility to do it online. We will contact everybody back. I can absolutely guarantee you that, and we will sit down with people one-to-one and talk to them, try and allay any concerns they may have, and that's the piece, Keith. That's the secret to this, is just communication all the time. We've been, as you're aware, we've been accused over in the east of the county of not communicating. I don't accept that. I stand over that the project team on the Athlone to Galway one are doing exactly what is expected of them, and similarly the team here in the west will be doing the exact same as well.
So if they want to get further details on this, then just we'll take them through. So Tuesday the 16th, which is tomorrow, Killarney Community Centre in Roscahill, and again from 12 o'clock until 8 o'clock, there's an 8-hour window there. And on the following day then, am I getting this right, I am?
Wednesday then we're in Uachtarard Community Centre, Keith. So again, similarly, 12 o'clock to 8 o'clock.
12 o'clock to 8 o'clock. And then the Human Biology Building, the atrium in the south campus of the University of Hospital. Is that the one near Corrib Village, is it?
It is, yep.
So there's adequate
parking
there.
So that's Thursday between 12 o'clock and 8 o'clock as well.
12 to 8 o'clock there as well. And then other than that, Galway to Uachtarard Greenway. If you put that into your search engine, you can see what I can see here. And it's very... the colours are vibrant in it, but it's a matter then of getting your submission in from there. How long do you reckon this will take?
Well, the consultation piece will be live until the 23rd of June. After that, then we'll take all the feedback and commentary that we get from everybody. We'll go through it all in great detail, and we would hope to be coming back with a consultation around the preferred route within that corridor in Q3 or Q4 of this year, Keith.
And when then can it be costed? And when, I mean, if you had a
question. Yeah, so at that point, once we have it down to an actual route, at that stage, then we can do. Now, we are doing, there is indicative environmental studies going on behind the scenes, ecological studies. We haven't gotten into the detailed design yet until we get the actual route. But once the route is determined, all of that stuff can happen. And for a submission then to Embord Planála for planning consent, I would suspect about this time next year, Keith, to be honest with you, because we need the environmental and ecological studies need to be done over a 12-month period to capture all the four seasons.
Somebody said, Keith, I'm in the Doon area and it's coming close to my own home. Is it being compulsory purchased or will I get paid for
that? Again, as per the code of best practice for the delivery greenways, there's a whole voluntary acquisition piece involved around this. as I've said on many of occasions before, the CPO is not a mechanism. It's simply not a mechanism that we want to use.
No, it's
we will do everything. We will do everything to avoid it.
It's argumentative, but answering the question that the person asked, do they get paid for the land that's taken for the?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
So the whole cooperation payment piece, there's a Greenway sustainability payment, which is on top of a land acquisition cost. So if I was buying land off you, Keith, for this, and let's just say it was an acre, and we agreed our compensation piece for the acre, you will also get on top of that a Greenway sustainability payment based on the linear length of land that's impacted by you. And that payment is on top of the acquisition of the land, and that will be paid in two stages. You'll get 50% of it on signing of the agreement once the planning consent is in place, and the other 50% effectively on the day that the ribbon would be cut on to open the Greenway.
Well, I would urge people from Wood Quay in Galway to Uachtaráin to have a look at what I'm looking at here, and it's very easy to know. And it's done in yellow, and that is the corridor. Whether it goes around
the mountain. That's the corridor.
Yeah, so whether it goes around the mountain out in Mahara, or it goes up over the mountain, or it goes to the side of it, all that is to be determined.
Absolutely.
Drimnahoon there, a place that I know very well. Ross Domain there as well in Roscahel. They're all in it, but again, you just have to figure it through from there. Derek, well done.
Yeah, and look, in relation to that text that you received there, just the likes of that person, we would really encourage those people to come along to meet the team tomorrow or the next day in person, and they'll be able to allay any fears that they may have.
All right, Derek, just to recap now again, Killannon, Uachtaráin, and we'd have a very strong listenership there. Tomorrow, Tuesday, 16th of May. And again, if you want to get there, please do so. And again, between 12 and 8, Uachtaráin Community Centre on the Wednesday between 12 and 8. And the Human Biology Building Atrium in the South Campus, again, for further details there, between 12 and 8. And all of the crew will be there. And just keep it all nice and peaceful, people, and go along, look for information rather than an argument, and get involved from there. Derek, thanks for joining us. Check him in a couple of weeks to see how things are going there. But I know a huge amount of work has gone in by Derek and the team indeed there. Somebody said, is it going near Dún East? It is, across the road from it. I'm looking at it here. But it's between there and Ross Domain, so it's a little tight area there. But yeah, it is, to answer your question. Now, though, again, very simply, you can do it wherever you're listening to us in the world. Galway to Uachtaráin Greenway .com from there. I'm just putting Galway to Uachtaráin Greenway and it comes up and you can see what I can see here. Just go down and look at the map from there. Now, if you want to get in contact with us, you can do so quite simply on 086 38 33 55 3. You can also call us on 091 770 0077 if you want to get in contact with us. We'd like to hear from you today. We'll be going to sport just after the 11 o'clock news. But I got a call yesterday in relation to the Catholic Church apparently are extremely concerned with the GAA and the ongoing situation with the GAA, where they're having matches on a Saturday evening, which is stopping people going to Mass. And then people aren't getting Mass because of the GAA. It's all their fault. So we'll be going to Ollie on that and others hopefully on that as well as the week progresses. But do you agree or disagree? If it's a thing that you go to a match in wherever you go to a GAA match, do you not bother going to Mass then? So do you put the match ahead of the Mass? Text us please to 086 38 33 553 and do so straight away. Let's head towards the 11 o'clock news and death notices. We're back with that and much more between now and 12 midday.
Galway Talks, in association with Tesco. Click and collect allows you to collect your order whenever suits you.